funning with you, but it's truth. Why would we want you to bring something you're no good at? Don't bring an apple pie if you don't know what apples to put in it. You know, in all fun and the seriousness, though, on the other side of it, sometimes we categorize it like a dinner, the gift of hospitality. Certainly there are those who have gifted in that in particular, but God, Christ has shown us that it's all-encompassing, all-encompassing. And so when our family thinks of Gilead, we think of, every time we think of you, we think of the balm of Gilead, B-A-L-M. The balm of Gilead. Anybody at all, just a real quick survey, anybody at all have any idea at all what the balm of Gilead is? Do you even know why this town was called Mount Gilead? Do you even know where Gilead is? You say, well, yeah, we're in it. Okay, so you know the area of Gilead in Judea? So look in your Bibles this week. I want you to look at it. I really feel strongly that God wants us to recapture that spirit of the balm of Gilead here in the coming months ahead for this church. I think this lesson helps us see it today. I really do. I think this real quick lesson today will help us see a little bit about who we are as Gilead. And when this new pastor comes, you can encompass him with the love of the balm of Gilead, with the healing salve of the balm of Gilead, with the anointment of the presence of God at Gilead. There's a reason this church was named that. There's a reason this region was named that. You know, we think we have mountains. We don't really have mountains other than the Snow Hill. You know, we don't have a lot of, you know, mountain peaks. But this balm of Gilead was grown in the area of Judea, potentially Jericho, but especially after it was brought into Solomon's storehouses. They began to grow it on the Mount of Gilead. The balm of Gilead, these little shrub trees that began to plant them in the area of Gilead on the mountainside where these little shrub trees would grow. And they would wait and they would grow them and they would prune them and they would wait and they would wait for just the right time when the leaves and the branches would begin to ooze droplets of the resin of the ointment that would be made from the balm, that would be called the balm from the trees and the shrubs. And they were special. They were unique. They were priceless. The presence of God in this church is unique. It's special. It's priceless because it's the presence of Almighty God. And he's gifted us for this with this healing power. When I see the way Gilead ministers to a family in need, when we lay hands on Julie, the one that's being dispatched away from us, I sense and I feel and I can, you have goosebumps on your skin because the balm of Gilead, the presence of Jesus Christ is among us. Our family doesn't want to leave the balm of Gilead. We have a bit of a concern. Will we find it anywhere else? You could say that's because you grew up here. It's not true. I felt that I was going to be called away 15 times. God always saw fit to keep me here, but it wasn't my desire. I'm an adventurer by nature. My first city was Chicago. I was going to be employed at. And then I thought, maybe L.A., I didn't want to go to New York. I'd already been there. It was dirty. Then we'll go there. You know, I'm an adventurer at heart. You know, but God kept me here. And as I've been here, it's the presence of God here that I revel in, that we bask in, that we're healed by. I couldn't keep still during that last song. You need to go back. If you didn't get those words in your heart of that last worship song we did, the verses. We did one little chorus after that, didn't we? But the hymn, that new hymn that has been written is just powerful. The words in it. And I couldn't contain myself, really. And then when you add our worship to it, the balm of Gilead, it just sends chills down my spine. So we're not anxious to leave this. Not at all. Like I said, we're doing this with our, like this, because we don't want to leave you. The balm of Gilead. Hospitality. You know, it's so interesting. I forgot we had these things up here. So I'm going to steal them. Whoa, that was heavy. And it's chipped. That's even a better record. That's even a better illustration. So, this isn't by any nature, by any means, perfect. But as the balm of Gilead was collected, can you imagine? It's like when the farmers like Merv and Phil and some others are in here, when the wheat's ready, can you imagine what they were going through this last few 2-3 weeks? You have to harvest when it's time to harvest. Okay, now I want you to hear that. When the field is white in the harvest, it's time to harvest. What did Jesus say? Are you tracking with me a little bit? When he said to him, he looked out upon the masses and he said to the disciples, what? The fields are white in the harvest. The laborers are few. Gilead! Gilead! The fields are white in the harvest around us. And you have a balm. You've been given a gift. The balm of Gilead. I'm telling you, I've been to so many churches in my life, and they're all gifted in certain ways, but this church is gifted uniquely and specifically to receive people and heal them. Through the worship, I don't know how God does it. He's gifted this church when the Quakers finally realize it's okay to sing. I don't know what they were thinking in the old days. I mean, I understand silent meeting and move of the Holy Spirit. I get that. But how did they not sing in church? I don't get it. I don't get that at all. Well, some of you do. You don't really like music. Okay, but I can't get that. So when we began to worship at Gilead Friends Church, you know, and it went from being able to sing a cappella to, whoa, they let an organ come in. And, you know, wow, they let somebody lead it. And, whoa, you have a piano and an organ. You know, Esther Hudnall was part of that. And you know, and Edna, you know, we added a piano and an organ and then a keyboard. Can you imagine, do you remember the day when we added drums? Whew. A lot of meetings after that week. Luckily, Dad had been here all his life, and what are they going to do? You know, and then I kept adding more instruments, you know, and we had bass and we had guitars, and you know, and then we get to the point like we did this Sunday morning, and the worship was so powerful and sweet. How can you not worship? And Gilead, you've been gifted. We've been gifted as a family in the healing salve of the balm of Gilead in worship. And your outstretched arms to receive people. We don't do it perfectly. Half the time you don't go up to somebody you don't know because you're afraid. You're afraid. You don't know what to say, you know? And then you're afraid that, well, they've been here for 10 years and you just didn't meet them yet. And you think you're going to make a fool of you. Stop it. We are the balm of Gilead. You have been gifted with this amazing salve of healing. You know, talk to some people who have gone through difficult times. And I'm not going to call out names. I start calling names, I get in real trouble. But, and you don't call and you don't write because you're afraid to impose. Stop it! And don't go in the middle of the night and knock on the door. You might not like that response, but send a card, phone call. You've been uniquely gifted, Gilead, and I'm not even for a little bit exaggerating, not even a tiniest bit. This church has been gifted a great gift. We've been named for a reason. God named this church. He named this church, not us. So, you know, you collect in the old days, in the time of Solomon and before, when in Genesis, when I'll get to the sermon in a minute. In Genesis, when Joseph was sold, remember he's put in a pit, and then they sold him. They're thinking about killing him, right? And instead of that, they you know, killed some animals, put blood on it, and took it back to Dad, and then sold him. How many of you want to sell your little brother? Okay. Only one of you raised your hand. You got some family counseling we can do later. It's okay. And so they, part of what they received was, or what the caravan was taking actually to Egypt, was the balm of Gilead, amongst other things. Guess what? Jacob, am I saying that right? What he sent back when Joseph was asking to get Benjamin. Guess what he sent? He didn't know it was Joseph, Dad. Dad didn't know it was Joseph, right? He sent the balm of Gilead as part of the package of pistachios and almonds. He sent that to, he didn't know it was his own son that he was trying to appease. Remember the story? He sent the balm of Gilead, was in that package of gifts to appease Joseph, the prince of Egypt. He didn't know it was his son. So later, you remember the Queen of Sheba? She come to see Solomon. Oh, there's a lot of stories surrounding that one. Really was, really is in history. Josephus has a lot of some factual history about that trip, not in the Bible. And one of the most important things that she came with her, that she brought to Solomon, the Queen of Sheba, was little plants of the shrub of the balm of Gilead. Isn't that interesting? Precious, powerful, medicinal perfume. They used it for, it was priceless because it was so rare. And so what'd Solomon do? So I'm backing up a little bit here and coming forward. He took those little plants and planted them on Mount Gilead. And at the right time, going back to the harvest now, going back, you know, when you get your tomatoes out of the garden, your sweet corn out of the garden, and your peas and your green beans, it's got to be right now, doesn't it, when they're ready? Otherwise, the tomatoes go bad, the corn gets wormy, and, you know, you got to get the harvest. So right when it's time for those shrubs to start, those little trees and the leaves and the buds, they start oozing this resin, this liquid, and they let it drop in vessels. And then they pour that into this vessel here. And then they store it. And that whitish stuff turns the good stuff, because there's different ways to get different parts of the oil, you know, just like, you know, certain tomatoes taste better than others. But the good stuff sits in these jars and turns this reddish brown, beautiful color. And that's the priceless balm of Gilead. And you folks possess it in your heart. And so, by the way, you can still get it. I don't know how accurate it is online. I don't know how, some of them say from the genuine plants, you know, in Judea. Some of them say that. I looked it up. You can still get the balm of Gilead. But what I want you to see this morning is that this gift of hospitality, this ministry of Christ Jesus, is you. It is the balm of Gilead in you. And God wants us to see that together this morning. I'm basically preaching two sermons, but it's all one, trust me. When we welcome others through this precious balm of hospitality, when we are able to receive other people, we do so because of the manner in which we've been received. Do we get that? Do we see it? From where have you been received? From what pit, from what depth of despair and sin have you been received? See, when our eyes are open to that, when our eyes are open to the understanding, can you guys go to the next slide if you can? Because I don't know where the clicker thing is. It might be up here. It is. I got it now. So you see that when we welcome others, it's because of the manner in which God has welcomed us. And the scriptures in Leviticus 19, 33 and 34, let me read that to you real quick. When a stranger sojourns with you in your land, you shall not do him wrong. You shall treat the stranger who sojourns with you as the native among you.
And you shall love him as yourself, for you were strangers. You were strangers. Of course, it's talking to Israel. You were strangers in the land of Egypt. But we were strangers. And then he says, I am the Lord your God. So folks, when somebody new moves into the community around you, close by, how do you treat them? See, the only way for us, because, you know, we were talking about this lesson a little bit in Sunday school today, and our culture in America is just, man, just don't get involved. Just don't get involved. Don't invite. And see, how many of you would be willing to give some money or a gift to somebody in great need? How many of you, when there's somebody very different than you, see, it's easy for us to give stuff, isn't it? How many of you would go serve in a soup kitchen, although that's good? We'd go down to Cardington or Edison and we give away food. That is so good. How many of you would invite those folks into your home? You'll say you will, but have you? We say we would, and I'm talking to myself here, you know, and other people in other churches. So I'm talking to me and people in other churches. How many of us? Sure. By the way, I just caught Nan's eye. Continue to pray for Nan. She's just got this shoulder, and it's just really... Talk with Nan after church. She doesn't like a big group of people around her, but talk with her and get a specific prayer request from Nan. I just saw her out of the corner of my eye. Pray for her shoulder. How many of us, you know, we're glad to serve, we're glad to give, but how many of you would invite someone into your home and give a dinner? You say you would. When's the last time? A stranger, somebody really down, somebody you would not ordinarily, that certainly you would have some sort of connection with, probably. You know, we were talking about how easy it would be to hand out food or go to a soup kitchen, but how many of us would be alert to who we might make a connection with? How many of us would be willing to stir up a conversation and let that conversation lead to an invitation to our home and a relationship that's long-term? What is it about us Americans that's a hard thing? And it's not just Americans, but I think it's even more difficult in America. It's human nature, but it's beyond that in our country. It's driveways and fences. Somebody said in Sunday school class, but don't fences make the greatest neighbors? You know, that's kind of the way we think, right? And I understand it. We don't get that. We get it. But the Balm of Gilead says no to that. And this statement says, if God is willing to welcome you, how can you not be willing to welcome my lowest, my poorest? This first point, this is right from the lesson here. Some of you have the book. I don't know if you have this statement. It talks about the Garden of Eden. You have to go back in time, which you can't relate to very well, but you have to go back to a garden. Maybe you have beautiful flower gardens at your home. You know what we've already told you what we do to flowers. We pretty much kill them with Roundup by mistake. And then we dig them up. Probably cost somebody a fortune putting these things in that we've killed already. But the easiest thing for me to do is just put a bunch of black mulch over everything and it looks presentable, you know. And then every once in a while a new flower pops up that we didn't kill. I'm not very good at this. Some of you have beautiful flower gardens and you walk out in them. And you can kind of relate to a beautiful place that you meet Jesus, right? Some of you take a hike out at the camp or wherever you are, or the state lake, whatever, and you can, or your yard, and you can walk and talk with Jesus. I want to take you to the garden for just a second, the Garden of Eden. It was a home. It was a dwelling. We can't quite grasp it, can we? A home and a dwelling where in the cool of the day, you know what that really means? When Adam and Eve were walking, now this wasn't such a great day. They had sinned, right? But the beautiful thing about it is that it appears as though this was normal. This was daily. In the cool of the day, which really means in the wind of the day. Can you just imagine this beautiful place on earth? There's some beautiful places on earth. Some of you have been to them. You live in one. Don't forget that.
the balm of Gilead.
And in the cool wind of the day, they heard the footsteps of Jesus. Now, like I said, this wasn't the greatest day. But what it indicates very clearly is that this was normal. They heard his footsteps. Now, wait a minute. God is spirit. Most likely was the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ himself. Can you imagine? It's hard to understand all that, isn't it? But that's the indication. They heard his footsteps. And God was walking in the garden. He was sharing with them the same geography. We were meant to live like that, church. We were meant to live with God in community and in relationship with him. And you are, but there's going to be a day when it's even greater. And it'll go back to the garden. It'll be recreated. And we'll walk with Jesus in the cool wind of the day. Must be a warm place. Must be a beautiful place. And it will be when he recreates it. It's almost unimaginable for us to think that way, isn't it? And Jesus was inviting them to have conversation. God Almighty was inviting them to have conversation with him in the cool of the day. See, the balm of Gilead is an invitation. The balm of Gilead is an invitation that when we understand how Christ has invited us into his heart, into his kingdom, that's the only way that we can in turn invite people into our lives and then heal them with God's all-encompassing mercy and grace, his balm of Gilead. And so that was the first point. If you're a note taker and if you're kind of OCD, in other words, you have to have the points. Like sometimes I have to have things, you know, logical order. If you're like that, like I am sometimes, the first point is that, you know, we welcome people. We receive people. We invite those around us the way God has welcomed us. As we move forward, as we show hospitality or the balm of Gilead to believe, we show it to believers and unbelievers. How many of you have a lot of relationships with unbelievers? Some of you do, right? Because of where you work and where you live. But many of us don't, do we? And this passage in Hebrews 13 and in Luke 14 is showing brotherly love. Let it continue. This is Hebrews 13 if you're searching. Hebrews 13, 1 and 2. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. For thereby sometimes you have entertained angels unaware. Have you ever heard that scripture? Wouldn't that blow you away if you got to heaven and was talking to Jesus and said, you know, that was my angel that you kind of ignored? Now, that's a little bit of a trite thing to say, but what we mean, or what Christ is saying here, we're our challenge, our command is to receive people, unbelievers. Church, we can't have just church friends. We just can't do that. That is not the Great Commission. That is not what the church is about. The church is about being ambassadors to the world. If you don't have very many unbelieving friends, let's start making them. Because you can't share the balm of Gilead unless you have people to share it with. Sure, we share it with each other and worship. That's fantastic. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous. But it's meant to be the healing salve. It's meant to be the grace and mercy. What's in that jar? What's in this earthen vessel? Remember how Jesus talked about us being a little bit injured, our clay? We're not perfect. This is so interesting. That lid's all cracked. I didn't know it when I picked it up, until I picked it up. But in this vessel of earthen clay, of this earthen vessel, that's what you are. That's you. That's what Jesus is trying to describe to you. You're a clay vessel. I know. Some of you, I know. I'm a cracked pot, right? I knew you were going to say that. In that earthen vessel, in your soul, in your heart, in your spirit, God has chosen you to have the balm of Gilead in your earthen vessel. Because you're his ambassador. You're his ambassador of grace and mercy. And that's what this is all about. You know, we we must get to the point where, as in the scripture in verse 12 of Luke 14, it says this: "He also said to the man who had invited him, 'When you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite just your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors, lest they also invite you and, you know, repay you. But when you have a feast or you give a party, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they can't repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just when we all get to heaven.'" What does that mean? What is that symbolizing to you? Think about it for just a second. What is Christ saying to you? Is he telling you that every week have a big feast and invite all the challenged people, handicapped, as you know? Come on, folks, you know what he's saying here. In that day and in that culture, those folks were outside the city gate, right? They tried to get as close to the city as they could, but they can't afford to be in the city. There was no welfare program. There was no SI. There was nothing. And so the only way for their needs to be met, other than God himself, was from the people of the tribe of Israel who lived inside the city gates to minister to their needs. It's so easy to invite the people that you know, your best friends, couples from church, and you should, but it can't stop there. When you do that, invite somebody that is not a believer, or you at least you know is suffering, or somebody who's hurting, somebody who's really down, somebody who's depressed, somebody who's having a terrible time, has trials and challenges in life. Invite them. How in the world can we share the balm of Gilead unless we have people in our lives that need it? And so the implication of this is you and I, the family of Gilead, and many others, you know, of course, but the family of Gilead right now, just as case in point, we're inside the city gate. We're inside the city gates of Zion. We're inside Jerusalem, right? We're inside the kingdom of heaven. We're inside. If you were worshiping in that song, you should have been inside, because I know we don't do it outside. You could have been jumping for joy at those lyrics of that beautiful hymn, that you are in the inside. You are the joint heirs with Christ. We got to go outside the city. See, when you go outside the city and you minister to those who are outside the city gate, those who are crippled and lame, we're talking spiritual, not just physical. This is a spiritual application. They are spiritually crippled. They are spiritually blind. Their salvation is lame because they're putting in everything except the balm of Gilead, the grace and mercy of Christ. And you have it. And you're inside the city. We got to go out. We got to go out, Gilead. We got to go outside the city. Outside the kingdom of God as far as your influence of people. We're called to be a healing balm. Amen. So quickly, our last point would be that when we do this, I know that sounds obvious, but it's a representation. Hear the scripture in Hebrews 13:12. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate. Remember? Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the same reproach that Jesus did. It's not going to be easy, is it? It's not easy to minister to people that you don't really care to or don't know or are not like you. Remember 3 or 4 years ago when I said it's going to get messy? Folks, if we take these scriptures to heart, it should get real messy in the church. You know, when our children are back there, they're creating chaos. Now, it's controlled chaos because we got a good team. I hope a lot of things get broke in Jesus' name. Charles, I can hear his voice right now in my ear. You know, beloved, I hope our carpet gets worn out. Amen? By the way, we got new runners. Right, Patty Lou and Phil? We got new runners. They're coming. We're trying to figure out how we're going to put them away, because the way we put them away creates the edges problem. So if you've got a brilliant idea, let us know how to put them away without hammering them so hard. I hope everything wears out in Jesus' name. We pray that he protects our expensive stuff. And he has so many times the Lord has intervened in miraculous ways to save us money, but we really hope that things get worn out in Jesus' name. We want this place filled, but the only way it can be filled is through a relationship that you've made outside the city gate. Jesus suffered outside the city gate, for here we have no lasting city. That's on earth. There's no lasting city on earth, right? But we seek the city that is to come through him. Then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise. The team did that so well today. That is the fruit of our lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have. Do not neglect to share what you have. For such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Okay, so what I'm saying to you, church, is simply this today. Gilead Friends has been given such a great gift. You contain within your soul all the grace and mercy of Christ himself. Now, it's only through his blood that you do. It is nothing of you. Only because of him. But he's chosen you. I don't understand it all, do you? Why he's chosen you? By name? He's chosen you by name, by name, by name, by name, by name. Every one of you, by name, to be his earthen vessel containing the balm of Gilead, the spiritual Christ-likeness of hospitality. Don't put it in a box and call it a committee. It's your challenge, it's your calling, but in order to administer as the physician under the great physician, in order for you to administer this very expensive, Christ freely gave you the gift, but it didn't come cheap, did it? In order for us to administer this very expensive gift freely of the balm of Gilead, that heals all wounds, that heals all hearts, that anoints perfectly, that washes away all the past and all the sin. In order to administer it as physicians and ambassadors under the great physician and the great ambassador of the throne of God, in order to do it, you have to get out of the city gate. You have to go outside your sphere of people that's so comfortable and invite people in. Not just to the church. That's what happens by natural means. The seats fill up because we've gone outside the city and we've administered the balm of Gilead. And then that balm explodes in worship. And seats are filled. And hearts are filled. And the sacrifice and the aroma of offering fills the heavens. Amen? Amen. So, go home, get on the internet, order some balm of Gilead. That way it'll be a reminder of what we just said today. Lord Jesus, stand with us today, everybody. Lord Jesus, we come to you at this place of powerful prayer and praise. And we ask that you would administer to us today a fresh outpouring of your balm, your healing salve, the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ, that when we leave here, we would be able to in turn administer it from our earthen vessels and heal a wound, heal a heartache, perhaps most greatly introduce, with the power of the Holy Spirit going before us, someone who desperately needs the healing salvation of their Lord and Savior. We give you honor and praise and glory, and the people of Gilead said, amen. Go in his power and strength and mercy and balm.